As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How long have you been in your bedroom? It's been 3 days straight with the sheets in your pillow.
But, our team is one that could have handled the situations on anything we had tonight. We came up short. We're sick.
What did you think?
Sick. I thought we were good suited to come in here and win this thing. And frankly, I wouldn't say surprised. I'd say just this is very sickening to not win tonight. We're sick.
What did you think?
Sick.
Get away, hurry up, come on. This is becoming a catastrophe.
Cowboys season's over. We're here to react to it on About Them Cowboys. We got a lot of fallout from the game on Sunday. We got a lot of fallout next week to talk about as we lead up to free agency. We got airing of grievances to get to. We'll get to all of that. Don't worry. But this is About Them Cowboys on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kent, joined by three of the best of the best when it comes to breaking down America's team. We've got John and Saad from the Athletic. And of course, your host. Please welcome Kevin KT Turner. Hey, KT.
Hello, Kent, Saad, John. Still here in mourning as we try to get through this thing.
I haven't seen sunlight, KT. I've just been in the dark, you know, closed all my curtains.
I was looking forward to sending John back out to Philadelphia again in even colder temps, just to see. But here we are. This is part one of what I would assume would be many mop-up style episodes here. We'll probably talk a little bit about the free agency, free agents moving forward, but we'll maybe go deeper on that, you know, next week, because there's a lot of things to kind of think about. Let's start here because it's kind of still top of mind. Is there anything else that you didn't maybe empty your barrel on Sunday night after the game? Any leftover? Maybe something you've thought about? It's like, man, I should have brought that up during the Sunday night podcast. Anything that's been on your mind, guys?
Nothing that I think that I should have brought up there, but I recently was at the Star recording in Fox 4 interview with Mike Ducey and Sam Gannon, and Mike Ducey right off the bat asked me, and I thought this was a really good question because it's very difficult to answer. Do you think this season was a success for the Cowboys?
Man, that's tough. See, it's hard to answer this question without it like having, it needs to have nothing to do with the coach and his contract and Sean Payton. I know that's impossible, but to answer that question, that needs to be all wiped out because it's about the players on the field. No. You kind of went to the same spot you went to last year. And I think building block and improving, and I know it's difficult. Was this season a success for the Buffalo Bills? It was not. This season was not a success for the Dallas Cowboys. Was it fine? It was not a failure, but it was not a success, no.
Yeah, I think the tough part for me is Dak's injury, because when you look at how they got through that and what it really should, I mean, just go back and listen to our podcast after the Bucks game and think about what the expectations almost became for this team. Not what they were. I mean, even before the season when they let Amari go, Tyron got hurt, then Dak goes down. It's almost like we all kind of expected them to miss the playoffs. And so that's where Dak's injury and the way that they weathered that storm really throws a whole wrench in the failure success conversation. Because without Dak's injury, I'm with you, KT. I think it'd be a failure. But with the way that they got through Dak's injury and where they got to, I you know, yeah, maybe not a failure, maybe not a success, but something in the middle.
Kent, you're up.
Wow, that's tough. Put me on the spot here. I would say no, not a success. You lost to the same team you lost to last year. Yeah, it's a round later or whatever, and that's how McCarthy has spun it. But you had all your guys. You were healthy going into this game. You just didn't get the job done. That's not successful. I mean, if they had gotten to the NFC title game, I would be sitting here saying, wow, this season was a success no matter they win this game or not. This is a W season. This is tough. This is really tough, especially considering, you know, the quarterback on the other side.
Yeah, it was tough for me when I answered it. And at first I said, a lot of this, my thought process was the same thing that Saad said, where I was like, yeah, I mean, you could say it was a success because, again, it's the way that, where are you judging it off of? And I think a lot of what we see in sports is that the goal line is constantly being moved. And so I try and judge it off of what I thought going into training camp. And when we went into training camp, I mean, you guys see it on social media as much as I do. I mean, we get criticized from time to time about being too negative about the team. I didn't think there was any way that they were going to go as far as they did. One, because they haven't since I've covered the team. They've never put together back-to-back good seasons. And so, I mean, you factor that in, and like Saad said, with the Dak injury, where we were thinking at that point, I mean, I think they were 15-1 to make it to the Super Bowl or something. Like, I want to say it was like right before the week one game. And then it went to like 40-1 or maybe 50-1, something crazy like that. Like after Dak got hurt. I mean, it was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. And then they rebound. And then yes, there's a lot of similarities to last year. But I just, again, the goal line being moved for me is also like the way they played against the Bucks, because it was like, they were so good. And then all of a sudden now it's like, well, yeah, they just beat a bad Bucks team. And you're just kind of like, yeah, I understand that. I thought they were the better team. They should have won, but how well that they played, including the quarterback, who is to me by far the biggest, you know, issue going into the offseason in terms of storyline that needs to be discussed, you know, but I'm just kind of like, it's hard for me to sit there and say it was a failure if you're judging it off of what you've seen in the past from the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I haven't seen them put together back-to-back good years. So there's a part of me that sits there and goes, yeah, you know, I can also agree with KT where it's definitely not a failure, but it's probably somewhere in between. But it's hard to just say like, oh yeah, no failure. Nope. Didn't get to the Super Bowl. Didn't get to the NFC championship game. It's a failure. Cause I'll tell you this, goal line would have moved again. The goal line would have moved again if they go to Philly and get blown out. And that's very possible without Tony Pollard. Very possible.
Yeah.
For teams being 0-15 after they play the Niners, the way they were getting beat up in that Niners game, if they somehow, Dak puts together a good drive, they go for two, score, win in the final seconds, go to Philly, get doors blown off, you think that that's like, no, successful. This was a success. NFC championship game, success. Yeah. They get their doors blown off, you would not be saying that.
We react to things pretty immediately.
If they beat San Fran, I might, though. San Fran's a good team, you know? Like, if they won on Sunday, I think it changes a lot of perspective.
But okay, so here's my thing. Okay, so you don't have Amari Cooper. San Francisco's at home this time. Brock Purdy's playing better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And now they have Christian McCaffrey. And oh, by the way, in the second half, they had Fred Warner. They had Nick Bosa that they didn't have the year before. So did they really beat the same exact team? So there's goal line being moved on that one, too, as far as I'm concerned. Don't make me be the guy sticking up for the Cowboys, please, because I really don't want to.
There definitely is. And that's human nature, I think. I think it's population in a fast news cycle world these days where something happens and it's forgotten about in 3 days. But every year the NFL does, there are crazy things that happen in the NFL that it's like, okay, I learned something new and I never know as much as I think I do. Brock Purdy doing what he has done. Compare that to the Cowboys going 5-0 with Cooper Rush at quarterback. Kind of what Saad was saying. It damn sure is a success based on how we felt that Sunday night and after week one. So I don't, you know, the bottom line though, when you broaden out and look at it, we're talking about being in the Final Four. We're talking about trying to get to that championship game that they can't even get to, not to mention get to and lose. They can't even get to it. And that was kind of the whole thing. Go back to Troy Aikman's point on the Monday night game after the Bucks big win, right? Everyone's feeling pretty good. And I just remember Troy Aikman and Joe Buck sitting there doing their post-game hit with Scott Van Pelt. And Troy's like, well, Mike McCarthy's job should not be safe. Obviously, it shouldn't be safe. But he was like, Mike McCarthy's job is not safe because he was brought here to win Super Bowls. It's the whole reason you got it.
Yeah.
And I get it. Only one guy can win. So I'm really torn about the Cowboys over the last quarter century. I'm very torn about it. We're just now getting to a point where they make the playoffs in back-to-back years. That's just now happening.
Yeah.
So that to me is like part of building the program and continuing to build around that.
I just think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that comes, too, when you lose these games. Like the McCarthy getting criticized for that like last play. Okay, yeah, clearly them calling a timeout, you need to switch up and run something different. Okay, I get that. And you got to have at least 10 of those plays in your bag anyway, just for those kind of – that was a terrible play call, disastrous way to end the season. But then when I hear people start mentioning like the Dalton Schultz not getting his second foot down, that's coaching. What are you talking about? Like, this is not peewee. These are adults. They're professional football players. Also, by the way, if you're going to complain about that and you hate the Cowboys coaching staff and you think they're the reason they lost, then you must have positive things to say about the 49ers coaching staff. Would that be safe to say? Why is Elijah Mitchell running out of bounds after he gets those 13 yards? Is that, Shanahan didn't work on that situation? Shanahan's one of the best coaches in football, but no one's going to talk about that because they won. Like, is that on Shanahan or is that Elijah Mitchell? These are professional athletes. Like, that's on Dalton Schultz. That's on Dalton Schultz to get knocked back. You don't think he doesn't know that? That's on Dalton Schultz for not getting the second foot down and not being focused. Like, that's not, you just didn't go over your fundamentals this week in practice. We worked on this situation. Like, what are we talking about? These are professional athletes.
Yeah, I think there's, like, to piggyback off that, another play that, like, you know, you hear that a lot about was, like, Turpin's return. It's like, this dude, this is all he does for a living is return kicks for football teams. Like, you don't think he's been coached or knows not to run straight into the back of the kicker? Like, that's not, to me, that's not necessarily a coaching thing either on Fossil, that he tells him, like, hey, if you're in wide open field, go run right into the kicker. Like, that is what we're coaching you to do.
I just judge professional sports on the players, particularly my star players, more so than I do on other things. They are paid professionals at the elite of the elite level. This is not any more of the day of, well, when Dak's season's over, he's got a job where, they cut grass and then he works at the Home Depot. Like, no, that's all year round. There's so much studying and everything that goes into this. There's not the coach didn't tell us about this. Like, how did you not know this? You're in your seventh year playing football. So when I go back to what I'm saying, like, even Kevontae Turpin is like, he's coming off of being basically in minor league football. And then all of a sudden, like, what they got out of him is like exceeds expectations. Him not getting outside, I would never blame that game on him. Trayvon Diggs not catching a ball that hits himself in the stomach and in both arms. Dak Prescott starting the second from last series by what should have been a game-ending D. Greenlaw pick. That has nothing to do with, well, they just didn't scheme it up right. What is he looking at? These are basic things. This isn't about, the scheme wasn't, here's the scheme. Don't throw it there. Okay, let's say he does. Let's say that doesn't get picked off and it didn't, and then they live to play another down. Then they get the ball back, 45 seconds. He should have been sacked in the end zone by Eric Armstead. Again, that isn't a scheme thing. That's common sense. What are you doing in that situation? The blaming on the coaches for that, like, they have plenty of stuff to blame it on, but, like, this game is on star key players. It's not about, geez, where were the X's and O's in this one? Like, they just got their doors blown off. Like, they didn't. Like, it comes down to Dak needed to play at least just a solid game, and he was bad. That's why they lost.
Yeah, and also, if you want to look at the contrast, I think look at last year. I do put some of that on the coaching staff in terms of the players not knowing who to hand the ball to at the to the referee.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. I think that goes to preparation a little bit, but none of that stuff was there this time around. This time, it really was just all on the players.
And in both of those situations, we're talking about hopefully being able to get a ball thrown into the end zone to have a chance. Like, just wasn't that good. It's always amazing to me, though, like 22 of our most physical, fast, and strong men that our existence has to offer go on a field and throw themselves into each other for hours. And at the end of it, it's as simple as, well, who are we blaming? And I'm
right.
Like, it's just never that simple. And much like last year, there's a myriad of reasons the Cowboys aren't advancing, right? It's a lot of issues. This year, the quarterback's interceptions do stand out more often than last year. I'm interested. I know you've seen all the tweets from Micah Parsons, John. I'm interested about that. I like that Micah just kind of says what he's feeling. I don't think there's any like real animosity there, but it is at least something. And then I saw that Micah Parsons actually responded to a tweet a video of Buffalo's GM in a press conference today, just discussing that, hey, we don't want to suck that bad to be, to ever have to draft a Ja'Marr Chase. Like, sorry, we don't ever want to do that. And Micah had a comment for that. You know, it's like almost like if you read through some context, you're like, well, Micah could be taking shots at Dak's contract here, but I don't think he's doing that. Also, I think Dak's contract from a salary cap standpoint wasn't that bad last year. It was around $24 million. So, you know, it's not like he was making, we talk 40 million quarterback. That's not what the salary cap hit was. Now we are staring a $49 million cap hit dead in the eye. They got a lot of things to think about in terms of restructuring if they want to do that and go in a little deeper with Dak or not. But, you know, his contract really doesn't start hurting you until this next year, and they'll probably restructure that. So I don't know. It's a little bit to throw out there with Micah's comments and,
yeah,
Dak's contract, and then eventually how we should feel about Dak moving forward.
One other one that I was thinking about as well is the, I always love the end of the season go to, it's Jerry Jones's fault, because after most seasons, totally get it. Whether he provided distractions during the season, roster wasn't good enough, bad decisions in free agency, bad trades and such like that. What are you blaming Jerry for this year?
Preseason things.
Amari Cooper?
Stuff that happened in the offseason.
You think that affected the team? You think put him behind the eight ball. Alexandra.
I think
him getting in an accident with his in the Uber.
The only thing bender.
The only thing he did during the season, to be honest with you, and this is my favorite one to go to, the biggest thing that he did to shake things up during the season was sat there and said, man, I would love to have a quarterback competition. And then Cooper Rush went off and balled. So I don't know that was a negative. Like, so, no. I mean, believe me, like, I get it. There's plenty of times where you can blame Jerry, but it's just like, it sounds lazy when you're doing it right now. This is one of the top five or six rosters in the league. Their quarterback, their franchise quarterback that you gave $40 million. I got news for you. If Dak Prescott's with any of these other teams, they're paying him $40 million too, because there's just not these answers that everybody thinks. They're like, oh, just go to the next quarterback. We'll just find somebody else. Somebody was giving him that money anyway. So you can argue that, oh, wait, maybe they needed to move on from Dak. I think that's a foolish take. You can argue, certainly you should never have given Zeke that big contract. But that has nothing to do with just this year. You already did that. You can criticize him in the past. You're stuck with that going into the season. This season, you needed defensive tackle, went out and got Hankins. You needed another receiver. He was doing everything in his power to get Odell Beckham, but Odell Beckham clearly did not want to play. So what does he do? He goes and gets T.Y. Hilton. Like, it's not like they just sat on their hands and were just like, well, we'll just see what we do here. Did they swing and miss on Kelvin Joseph? Absolutely. They also found Jerron Bland. So, I mean, it's just like, there's like a lot of things where you're just
that
like,
stuff's on this is Jerry.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, it's Jerry's fault that Brett Maher was missing extra points. Like, they got lucky that Brett Maher was as good as he was during the season. They were able to overcome the Garibay situation. They didn't have anybody to punt and kick return. They found Kevontae Turpin. Like, I don't know, like the whole blaming Jerry for like this team falling short. I'm just kind of like, okay, like, yeah, you can factor that in. But like, if that's your go-to when the season's over, I'm just like, there's plenty of season to do that. I don't see that with this one. Sorry.
No, it's another example of it's not just one thing. It's a bunch of things. Because the Jerry thing is strictly, I mean, Jerry plus Jalen Tolbert plus Michael Gallup not coming back from a torn ACL.
Yeah, no, the Amari thing is...
why when Tony Pollard gets hurt, you only have one explosive player on the field.
Yeah, no, the Amari Cooper thing, for sure. You can totally point to that. Absolutely. I will always go on that. I guarantee you they thought Gallup was going to be better than this, and obviously they thought they would get at least something out of Tolbert. So yes, wide receiver, they absolutely missed on that. But at the same time, with the way the quarterback had played this year, with the high highs and the low lows, even with Amari Cooper out there, you can't promise me that they would have beat the 49ers and moved on. That is not a guarantee.
I also think there's this thing where, you know, sometimes we get caught up in one thing, like, or one sequence or one play or something like that. Like a lot of people, like, you know, going back to Dez catch, like if he caught it, then you win. Well, Aaron Rodgers is going to come down and score on the next drive, regardless of if Dez catches that or not. And so I think same thing with what John's saying. It's like even the Dalton Schultz thing. I totally understand being critical of him for what for his two plays on the last drive. Totally get it. But to KT's point, you were doing that for a Hail Mary try to get into the end zone. Even if he makes the right plays on those two plays, there's no guarantee that they actually score a touchdown and tie the game, let alone then win the game in overtime. And the same thing with Amari Cooper. Like, I think, yes, it would have been smart to have him and have him in that position. But again, there's no guarantee that just because he's there, he would the Cowboys would necessarily overcome it.
So what do we go back to the quarterback here? I mean, look, we talked about a lot of this on Sunday night. How should you feel about your quarterback situation moving forward?
So,
it ain't excited about it anymore, right? It's
yeah.
When fine I was with it, okay with it, sure.
On the flight back, I came up with a list of the quarterbacks that if whatever the teams that have these quarterbacks came to you and were like, hey, let's do a deal, you know, whatever it takes, but you can have this quarterback. And either we'll take Dak or you guys move on from Dak. I came up with six. That's it. Six quarterbacks that I would do it for. And that's basically Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. God, I'm missing some. Who am I missing? There's like an obvious one, I feel like. I felt like there was an obvious six.
Lamar?
I didn't have Lamar in there, but I could at least listen to that. I did not have Jalen Hurts in there. I don't know what Jalen Hurts is doing with this Cowboys team. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
He might be fine, but he also, you know, his shoulder might also be completely removed from his body. So I don't know that, you know, there's a lot of good, the Purdy Hurts thing. There's a lot of great things going on around them right now. You know, I wrote it down. Let me see who the other guy was. I said Joe Burrow. Where are we at?
They're all in the AFC, right? All the guys.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, KT. Sorry. How do we forget that? Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was the other one. And I didn't count Tom Brady because it's like, what is he, year to year? We don't necessarily, but I mean, that's fine. You can throw in Tom Brady. You can throw in Lamar if you want. Heck, you can throw in Jalen Hurts if you want. Like, still, you're getting to like six, seven, eight guys that you're doing this for Derek Carr. You're doing this for Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, you know, Matthew Stafford. There's like a lot of guys that I'm just like, I don't know. They're kind of in the same boat. And then, for you to try and move on, which they can't move on from Dak because of the contract right now, but I'm just saying, even if you could, there's a way better chance that you get back into the Quincy Carter, Henson, Hutchinson area than you do finding the next Romo or Dak. I mean, it was easy to move on from Romo because you had Dak. Like, to just all of a sudden cut it loose and be like, we're going to find the next guy, we're going to draft him high, or we're going to do the Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers type things that the Colts have been doing. Like, that's not an answer either. Your best thing you can do is give him another playmaker on the outside and potentially move on and move in a different direction with your offensive play caller. But the idea of moving on from Dak right now, I don't think that's a good idea at all. I think there's a far better chance that it ends up being a disaster than a success.
Yeah, and I think it also, if you heard the Bills GM's comments this week about, like, you know, you don't want to be bad enough to draft a Jamar Chase. Like, that's the thing, is that you have to, with quarterbacks, you also, if you're going to draft another quarterback, if you're not going to go this way, this roster is not bad enough to be that bad, even without Dak. I don't think it is. I don't think you're going to be a top five draft pick without Dak with the rest of the things are going. So I think. And the other thing is, you can win with Dak. Like, you may not be able to win because of Dak, like the whole thing, but you can win with Dak. And so that's another reason, aside from the obvious contract thing, that you have to just kind of ride with it.
If it was everything was even, picks and everything you had to give up, would you rather give up the picks to get Sean Payton or give up the picks to get Aaron Rodgers?
See, if Aaron Rodgers' age wasn't a thing, then quarterback slam dunk. I don't think Sean Payton is that much of an upgrade over McCarthy. But
age, everything, the past with McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, all of it, throw it all in there. It's not even debatable for me. It's easily Aaron Rodgers for me. I just do not think that there's that significant of a, to give up picks and all that to get Sean Payton. I just don't, I mean, you just go back and look at what he's done since, okay, so the Packers won that Super Bowl with McCarthy in 2010. The year before is when Payton won it in 2009 with the Saints. Mm-hmm. If you look at from 2009 until last year, there's three consecutive 7-9 seasons in there. And there's only one time that they even got to the conference title game. And that's clearly why you'd be getting rid of McCarthy, is to get to the conference title, to get farther. He only did it one time. It's the one where they, you know, they got screwed on that call against the Rams in 18 on that. It clearly should have been pass interference. They probably would have won it in regulation. And then they went to overtime. The Rams end up winning it, going to the Super Bowl, whatever. So one time since 2009, they got, and then this is going to be the guy that's going to get you there. And oh, by the way, he had Drew Brees during that. He's not bringing Drew Brees with him. Like, and then you got to give up picks for him. Like, I just, and I bring this up because he's the only guy that's on the table that, that you would, that you would even think of moving on for.
So I don't necessarily even think, I'm with you. I don't necessarily think that Sean Payton's even like a clear upgrade.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is like, you know, 9 McCarthy and 10, those are when those guys were prime head coaches in this
right.
league. Your prime head coach in the league, just one of the prime head coaches in this league just beat you for the second year in a row of the playoffs. But I'd say the only thing that's interesting to me about Sean Payton, and I'm not even 100% sure how committed I am to this, is that he is someone who would throw a lightning bolt into the last decade of the way things have been in terms of probably needing a hand in some player personnel. Because we know that McCarthy doesn't have or need to have much of a hand in player personnel. Dan Quinn still has a big say in things. We know that. Sean Payton, the idea that he might have or demand a little bit of say in that. But then on the flip side, I'm like, has it been that bad roster-wise?
No.
It hasn't. It's been a top 10 roster in the NFL for
a
long time. So I'm not sure that things need to change that much outside. You just need to hit on some more things. You need – here's my – you know what my gripe is? They don't participate in free agency, and they don't really participate well in trades. Like, trading Amari Cooper for a fifth-round pick – and I'll go back and say Javarius Ward for a fifth-round pick. But you can't just look back at trades and what hit or missed. But trading Amari Cooper for a fifth-round pick before free agency even started just showed a real lack of understanding of what the hell's going on. But it's like, why don't you see what the wide receivers do in the free agent market first? You know,
I don't know, man.
Pull
like,
their fifth-round pick off
the
table.
I love what Howie Roseman did this offseason. Don't get me wrong. And I would love to cover a team that was that aggressive and did some of those moves. But man, this Cowboys last whatever 9 months, I don't know, man. There ain't many personnel swings and misses, man. Because if you factor in what they gave up to get a lot of these things, whether you talk about Turpin, you talk about Brett Maher, Anthony Barr, you talk about God, who else was I thinking of?
Hankins.
Hankins is another one. Hey, that 1 year deal that they gave to bring back Leighton Vander Esch was great.
And Jaron Curse.
Jaron Curse, yeah, for sure. Hold on, I got the roster right here.
Nailing the Tyler Smith pick.
Moving on from Lyle.
Yeah.
Dante Fowler, you didn't really invest much in. I don't know, man. There's not many things that I see on here other than the only one that will stand out to me, of course, is Amari Cooper. That's it. And that's a bold move.
Yeah, and also KT, to your point about Payton not really, you know, the dynamic of Payton with the Cowboys, I also think that look, the coach's salary, nothing is under the salary cap. Jerry, if he wanted to, could money whip and get whatever coach he wanted to come in here, but there's also an entirely different dynamic that goes on with the Cowboys head coach. Like, you have to be able to play ball with Jerry. You have to be able to deal with everything that comes with that. And Sean Payton has never dealt with Jerry. Like, he was an assistant, but he's not dealing with Jerry as an assistant head coach, like, or assistant coach. Like, I think that's a whole different ball game when, you know, the Saints ownership is like, sure, yeah, absolutely demolish our salary cap situation and do whatever you need to win, and we're not going to hold press conferences after every game outside the locker room. Sean Payton doesn't have an idea of what that's like. He has an idea. He was here. But being a head coach versus an assistant, dealing with that stuff, like, it is totally different.
Yeah, well, that's why I think it's an interesting. That's why I brought up the Aaron Rodgers thing, because Aaron Rodgers, like he says, he probably has another MVP in him and whatever that means. And you probably aren't getting the same Aaron Rodgers that we saw 4 or 5 years ago. But the idea that Sean Payton would be brought in to shake things up, you don't think Aaron Rodgers would shake things up? You know, Jerry's going on 105.3 The Fan on Tuesday, and Cowboys quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going on the Pat McAfee show. You don't think that Rodgers wouldn't be stirring things up? Hey, Aaron, I got to ask you about what Jerry said today. Yeah, you think that he would just be politically correct and say all the right? I mean, he would be shaking things up too.
I think Jerry would go after Brady before he'd go after Rodgers, maybe for that sole reason.
Oh, yeah. No, you're probably right. But just when you were saying shaking things up, like, because obviously Sean Payton's got a strong personality.
Speaking of shaking things up, you guys have seen Home Team, right? Maybe he can inject some humor into the locker room. You haven't seen Home Team? Sorry.
I didn't see Home Team.
Starring
anybody?
Kevin James as Sean Payton. Nobody?
Oh, my God.
We're aware of what it is. That's why we didn't see it.
I forgot what it was because I wanted it to go away so fast.
Came out this year, didn't it? A year ago.
It was like a year ago. Yeah. I thought things couldn't get worse, and they did that. And I didn't even watch it. I just saw the trailer. Okay. If you
got to see it, KT. Wow. That's a letdown. You too, John.
Is there a talking dog in it?
It's got Kevin James and Sean Payton. What else do I need to say? That's the sell.
If you polled like all, let's just say a million Cowboys fans, okay? If you polled them and
none of them have seen that movie. Sorry, go on.
Move on. Yeah, 0%. And it was ride it out. We'll finally get there with Dak, or you've got to lose for 3 years straight in order to get your next franchise quarterback. What would they say?
Well,
I think they would say right now, lose 3 years straight and get your franchise quarterback.
I think it would be close. I do think it would be like it'd be like a 55-45, but I do think 55 would continue to roll with Dak. I do think, but when you say that, I like to throw this out there because when the way you worded it made me think of this, the person in charge, I can't see would ever want to go back. You talk about not wanting to have, I don't have time to have a bad time. The idea that, of course, he would like to win a Super Bowl is number one, but there's no chance he wants to go back to Quincy Carter, Drew Henson, Vinny Testaverde. Those 5 years right there in between, 5 or 6 years, whatever it was, between Aikman and Romo, the chance that that could potentially happen, I don't see Jerry for the rest of his living days on this earth ever going away from unless he has an automatic, like, something already ready to go. And I don't think he's reloading for a draft type situation. There's a better chance of him doing the Colts thing of the Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan type veteran guy, adding them if he was going to move on from Dak than he is, let's just tank for a year and then we'll draft a quarterback. I just do not see Jerry Jones wanting to do that at all.
Also, when you do that, when you have that strategy, like you have no guarantee one where you're going to end up in the draft the following year. You don't know if you're going to end up being 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Secondly, even if you do, I mean, look at the Jaguars, right? Like they went from what? It was Byron Leftwich and David Garrard for a while. Then they went through this dry spell. They're trying to get Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles. And then you just happen to have the number one pick when the most generational guy since Peyton Manning or since Andrew Luck, one of the most generational guys of this century just happens to come up when you're number one. There's no guarantee that happens. Like, that franchise went through Bortles and Gabbert and suffered through that. So I think, you know, there's also just the no guarantee thing of those 3 years as well.
And I know that there's still a lot of cards that need to be played in this whole situation. But, you know, I think a lot of people look at, you know, you can bash the Cowboys and they're an easy target. I get that. But there's not many people bashing the 49ers right now. I mean, they're like the golden child. Like they do everything right and all that. And can you guys tell me right now for sure, with everything they mortgage, that Trey Lance is their future?
No.
That's a high pick that they went, and they seem to really know how to run shop. I mean, they seem to be loaded at everything on the field except for quarterback, and they haven't been able to find it. So you're going to trust me that you're going to go Romo, Dak, and then another person that's at least at that level or better? Good luck.
By the way, they Romo was undrafted, and Dak was a fourth-round pick. So,
but that's what goes into people's thought process, Saad. You lose to Mr. Irrelevant. Oh, well, we found Romo. We found Dak in the fourth round. We'll do that again. I bet you don't.
You won't. Yeah,
I bet you don't.
There's no history of that.
Yeah.
The percentages that Brock Purdy ends up sucking.
Oh, hold
too.
On, hold on. There's By one the more. There's one more. Cooper Rush wasn't even drafted. Look at it when he got in there.
That's what goes to their head, though, is what could you do with that $40 million? And I want to see an NFL team try it. I want to see an NFL team try it. Perhaps it could be a team
who the 49ers are doing it.
Brings back their old yeah, center true. To be the head coach. But I would love to see a team try it.
The 49ers are doing it.
But they fell ass backwards into it.
You're right. The
in a way.
And Eagles fell ass backwards.
I was
going to
say, in
situation.
A way, the Eagles have kind of been doing it too. Yeah. The way they moved on from backwards. Wentz, and they were like, they went a Super Bowl with a quarterback that can't work anywhere, and then all of a sudden he leads them the Super Bowl and just has monster throws. Like, that's as crazy as anything I've seen. And then the fact that, like, Hurts is a second round pick, and I mean, he's a guy that Alabama gave up on. You know, like, I just, It is a wild way to go about it.
That's why it's frustrating.
But isn't okay? So if that is a theory or a possible way to go about it, doesn't that speak to the Cowboys staying the course, continuing to try to build this defense, this offensive line, add weapons? So then, if Dak continues to be erratic, you have everything else around there for whoever the next guy is. And when I say, you know, like drafting quarterback, whatever, like, you know, that makes no sense, like with the first round, whatever. I'm not saying that they shouldn't take one in, you know, like the third or fourth or like later on. I mean, I'm not opposed to that at all. But I'm saying, like, you take a quarterback in the first round this year or even the second, like, as soon as Dak has one of these bad games, everybody's going to be like, well, let's see what, you know, so-and-so's got going on here. Let's, you know, you're not going to get any time to bring that. And I don't know that that's necessarily the right way to go about it. Also, I don't think this is a great quarterback draft. So there's also that. I love the people that just think, oh, yeah, you just get a high pick, you take quarterback, win. It's like, you all think all these quarterback drafts are equal? They're not.
The thing that sticks out to me is the Jets and Zach Wilson. Having a second pick, oh, we'll just draft a franchise quarterback, just taking a dude and not
Wentz.
Being the guy.
Well,
and
I'll go even further on that.
Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold.
I'll go even further on that. I'll go to somebody that's at least had some success. Let's say they move down from Dak and their quarterback right now is Justin Fields. While I think Justin Fields has some really good upside, particularly with his running ability too, you can't tell me right now that you think he's going to be a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. You can't tell me right now that Justin Fields is going to have a better career than Dak Prescott is. And I think that, and I do think Justin Fields is going to be a good player. I really do. I like him. But I don't know that.
Dude, Kavanaugh, who I do a morning show with on The Freak, is he brought up, and he was like, it's not possible, but let's just play a little radio here. What about Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's interesting. Lamar Jackson is a guy who's fighting with his team, and they're having a negotiation. The real big thing to remember right now, and it's while the Cowboys did drag their feet on the Dak Prescott contract, they ended up getting a pretty good deal by the time we're going to look at things, because Deshaun Watson getting 100% guaranteed money changed everything. Lamar Jackson will go get 100% guaranteed money.
Yeah.
That is going to happen. All the money will be guaranteed and the cap will be killed. And that's, well, not killed. The cap will be eaten up a little bit. The cap will continue to go up.
If you tell me, if you can tell me, if you tell me he can stay healthy, I'd entertain Lamar Jackson. I just, the way he plays the game, I just have my doubts that he's going to be able to stay healthy for full season. And to be honest with you, two of the most successful things they have for the Cowboys these last two seasons is that they had relatively good health going in the playoffs. So that's a lot of money to somebody that, man, one hit and you're completely gone and you're playing your backup in the most meaningful time of the year. That's my only thing with Lamar. I'd be a little nervous about that.
Yeah. My other thing with Lamar, watching the Ravens from afar, is John Harbaugh really tore down that offense and built it around Lamar. Like, it's a very Lamar Jackson friendly offense with the tight ends, the running game and all that stuff. And they have a real commitment to Lamar Jackson. And I think, you know, you have to kind of build your roster around that a little bit. And I don't know that the Cowboys are there right now. Not that you can't get there, but then it's like what John said too. Like, if you're doing that for your starting quarterback, your backup quarterback better be able to slide in and do something similar, or at least have a similar style, than, you know, going from Lamar Jackson to Cooper Rush. Like, you can go from Dak Prescott to Cooper Rush, but going from Lamar to Cooper Rush is a lot tougher, and you have to consider the backup situation because he's going to get hurt. So I think all that stuff, you know, definitely comes in play for someone like Lamar. I'd entertain it, but I wouldn't be, you know, salvaging my future for that.
Saad, you have, in that scenario, Will Greer is Lamar's backup.
Yeah. Yeah. Former Cowboys legend.
If I were to throw a lightning bolt into it, I'm not one of those guys that thinks Kellen sucks either, because it's amazing he's still around and you keep putting up a lot of points.
Oh, no. Kellen's thing is that whole like coach that's been around, because it's not just Kellen. It's the fact that it's Kellen is a Linehan guy. So it's just like this entire 7 years have been the same thing.
Yeah.
The move on from Kellen would just be because, A, it's just time to shake it up. Like you got to do something different. Bring in a young offensive mind that maybe thinks a little bit outside the box, and you put him in a room with McCarthy, and you just kind of change some things up. Yeah, maybe that's it. But you just do some things that are a little bit different to shake some things up that, hey, yeah, Dak's going to have to adjust to. It won't be like, you know, perfectly curtailed to exactly what he wants to do. A lot of things will, but there's a little extra stuff that they put out there. Maybe that impacts the way they draft. Maybe more of a gadget type player that they wouldn't have drafted in the past, or something along those lines. But that type of thing kind of makes sense to me a little bit. But it's not because I think Kellen Moore is awful. Like, I don't. I think he's gonna, if he's not with the Cowboys, he's coaching somewhere else next year, and I think he's gonna be coaching in the NFL for a long time.
Well, while Kellen's the poster face of. The poster child would be the word I'm looking for. The poster child.
Oh, he's the poster child. He's the poster child for every Dak diehard that backed themselves into a corner and always said that he was like the greatest thing ever. And so now it's like you're looking around like, offensive coordinator. What is this guy doing? What is he doing?
Why is Doug Nussmeier getting off scot free here? You know,
that's another one. When he had Kitna. Or then I love hearing when he had Sanchez on. Like, I mean, where are these excuses? You can just say the guy didn't play well. I mean, it's fine. Like, we all love Dak. We would love for him to do well. But I understand you're backed in a corner and you're this possum and you're trying to get away from everybody. But like, you can sit there and call it for what it is, that like he was not good this year. He was not good enough. He had high highs. That Tampa Bay game, that was pretty high. But he's too erratic for if you want to ultimately win the big deal.
You're paying him what you're paying him. That's not changing. Whatever his cap number is, if they restructure him and all that, let me just ask this question. Philosophically, there's got to be no chance Zeke's on this team next year. But I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. Philosophically, would they be wise to kind of counter what a lot of the league is doing? Well, at least kind of going a lot of two safeties back and things like that. And go back to more of a 2016 style. Let's kind of load up the offensive line. Maybe we draft a running back. I understand the devaluation of running backs. I'm in the boat of franchise tag Tony Pollard, but we'll save that conversation for next time. But would you kind of move towards, let's see if we could be a little more run heavy? I don't think that's the way to win in the NFL. I really don't. But I wonder if just kind of the decision makers on this team might be thinking about that as time goes on here. Maybe you get a good running back in the second round. Maybe you try to figure out what you're doing at that guard position. You got a decision to make on Tyron Smith. I just wonder if philosophically, if things might change a little bit. I think they just need to give Dak three good wide receivers and go see what happens. But
yeah, I would say I get the whole running back thing. I'm not a huge, I see the mocks with Bijan Robinson and he's a great player, but I'm not drafting a running back in the first round. No. I would rather draft another offensive lineman in the first round. I mean, let's be honest. How about we play to our strength? What do we always hit on in the first round? Offensive lineman. We could also use another offensive lineman. That would be fine for this team. I mean, again, the team I watch the most outside of the Cowboys is the Lions. Like, Jared Goff played pretty well this year. Because we could play behind that offensive line. I mean, they've been awful for a long time, so they've been spending a lot of high round picks on their offensive line. So now the Lions have a very good offensive line, and it makes your quarterback look a lot better. I would rather go that route in the first round than to take some running back who, if everything's great, he could be NFL offensive rookie of the year. I don't care about that in the running game. Like, I'm fine with Tony Pollard, bring him back. If you can't get a long-term deal, franchise him, draft a running back somewhere else, but I would much rather draft a wide receiver in the first round than a running back.
Yeah, yeah. I think one thing for me, and John, you and I had this conversation in the press box earlier this season with the running back position. Say they do let Zeke go, and then I don't know what they do with Pollard. I think if you franchise him, if Tony Pollard is back in any capacity under the franchise tag or a long-term contract, I'm 100% with that as well. The other thing is, though, is if you want to use that money and you want to actually be active in free agency and let Tony Pollard go too, and Zeke is gone as well, I don't know that I have a huge problem using a bottom of the first round pick like the way that the Chiefs did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, something like that, where, you know, the problem to me is not necessarily.
But do you think that's worked out for them though?
No, but like my thing is like it's different. I think when Cowboys fans and people like a lot of us that have followed this team for a long time think about using a running back in the first round, we're thinking Zeke and we're thinking number four overall pick. Whereas like if you're picking a running back at 26, 27, whatever it is, and then like, you know, Derrick Henry second round. So I'm not even saying first round, but I'm saying even second round. To me, the most egregious thing with the running back position is giving them the second contract. I think that's the worst thing you can do is I'd rather you burn a little bit of draft capital. Again, not necessarily first round, but even a second round pick on a running back, then give Tony Pollard a monster deal that's overpaying him for even the long term. So I guess that's where I kind of fall on that.
Yeah. I'm fine with that too, yeah. Me personally, the way they've drafted on the offensive line, that's very intriguing to me again, because I know it's not the sexy pick, but where they're at 26, maybe they find another player that maybe that's your left guard, who also has some position flex. So if Terrence Steele or Tyler Smith were to go down, they can play a little bit of, you know, tackle, you know, or they're a guard who has some ability to play some center. So if things aren't working out with Biotis, you have something there. Like that intrigues me just because they've been able to hit in the first round on those picks, more so than a running back does.
Well, they sure need a corner too.
Yeah, for sure. But then again, if you build up the rest of the defense, I mean, the Niners make an argument for if everything else is good, you can get by with some guys.
Lots of free agents. We'll discuss that in our next episode. We'll get to some of that stuff. Should they stay or should they go?
Sometimes you don't even have to be that great at corner. The opposing quarterback just throws you the ball.
And you drop it.
That works.
And then you drop it, yeah.
In a game. In a big game once.
Yeah.
Once.
In a big game. When's did we talk about this on the pod? When's the last time that Trayvon Diggs had an interception?
It's been a while.
Did we talk about it? I don't remember. Did we bring this up?
I think we did. I think it was part of our just kind of
okay
vamping or venting after the game.
Yeah, Dak's first game back from injury against the Lions, yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now we're assuming that Dan, well, I don't know. I don't think you should. There's only 5 head coach openings, right?
Yeah.
But, Dan and Kellen could be here. They could be gone. It sure feels like Dan Quinn's going to get one this year.
It does. But also the other part that's interesting to me on that is, and I understand that there's a lot of people that think that they should just promote from within, you know, give it to Joe Witt Jr. or, George Edwards, and that's fine. But This is an extremely attractive position, I feel like. You have Micah Parsons. It's a good defense. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I think you go out and get a former head coach, like someone that's been a head coach in the last couple of years.
Vic Fangio.
Hold on. I'll look up some names real quick.
Brian Flores.
Brian Flores is certainly a possibility.
Matt Patricia. I just need to get John going a little bit.
Go ahead and mute him for the rest of the show. What about Lovie Smith? He was with the Bears forever.
And by the way, you think back to Lovie Smith's Bears defenses and like the personnel and some of that stuff, like with Lance Briggs and you know, some of that they have going.
Steve Wilkes. You said Brian Flores. The other wild card out there, I don't think they'd go this direction, but there's obviously a lot of connections with Mike Zimmer. I don't think that they would go that route, but if they move on from Dan Quinn, I mean, if you look at Mike McCarthy's track record, it's generally the defensive coordinator, someone who has had previous head coaching experience. And all those people that we just named all have had coaching experience. So I don't think that you just promote from within. I really think you go out and you get somebody that's going to implement their own things as well, who has head coaching experience. Like, I find it hard to believe that these guys wouldn't, you know, obviously they really bought into Dan and they love Dan and they would love for him to return. And that's obviously best case scenario to continue growing on what he would do. But I think that there's some other guys out there, like some of the names we just mentioned, I'm sure that these guys would play for. And it, because I understand there's going to be in the back of your mind, like, oh, don't do another Mike Nolan. Hey, believe me, I get the PTSD. Of course, you don't want that to happen again. But I think that there's some good options out there, and it's a very attractive position, much more so than it was in 2020 when Mike Nolan was the DC. I mean, you have a Micah Parsons. There's going to be a lot of guys that want to get back in the head coaching ranks going, yeah, let me coach that Cowboys defense for a year or two, and I know I'll get another chance to be head coach again, you know?
Yep.
Boy, money whip D'Amico Rhines, if he doesn't get a job. Yeah. What about his contracts like in San Francisco? I don't know if he's free or not. Who knows? A lot of times they don't make some of that stuff public. That's interesting to see. Five jobs. One of those jobs. Two of those five jobs have, like, it's wild because three of those jobs have no quarterback yet, but you know, picks in the top 10. Two of those jobs, you do have your long term quarterback there, but I'm not sure that you want the guy with Kyler and with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, Houston's weirdly, if you can get past the fact that Caserio wants to manage in-game, Houston's kind of a interesting spot because they have five picks in the top 73. The Carolina roster is one of the youngest in the league. Matt Rhule walked and got fired so someone else could fly. If you want to go to Indianapolis, you could deal with Ursay, you know. So that's not the most like attractive head coach openings either, but there's that, you know.
Yeah, so when you said the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, it made me think of just over the weekend, I was thinking about this, like, do you remember a couple like off seasons ago how like Joe Brady was this like huge name like coming off that national championship, and I think of him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Ed Orgeron, and then I'm just like, was it you or was it Joe Burrow, Jamar Joe Chase, Burrow. And Justin Jefferson? Maybe that helped.
Three J's.
I don't know.
The three J's.
Maybe it was that.
Two of them MVP candidates this year.
I'm just like,
who are we picking this weekend, boys?
I don't know how you can go against Joe Burrow right now. I really don't. And then also you factor in the Mahomes injury. Like, how much is that going to, I mean, I think I'd roll Bengals there, and I can't go against the Eagles right now, coming off the way they played against the Giants. And I just think that time is going to run out on old Purdy. You play like you did against the Cowboys in that game, they're not beating the Eagles. So he's going to have to make some big throws to like win the game. And he could. Who knows? Maybe he is the next Tom Brady. There's part of me that thinks this thing's going to come down and everyone's going to look back at this Niners team, just like with the Garoppolo teams, and be like, yeah, that was a good story. But that's also the reason they ended up losing, because everything else is awesome on this team except for that one thing. And that one thing was a cool story, but it also wasn't good enough to get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you on Burrow. I think he's one of the coolest quarterbacks that's ever played already. And just in terms of just the coolness element of him, he has so much swag and like
Joe Namath.
Dude, he's the type of guy that, like, you know, people say, like, you'd run through a wall for. If I was a teammate on that team, like, I'd run through a wall for Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow, along with Mahomes' injury and the history of beating the Chiefs, is – but I'll take the 49ers. I think I am a believer in the Purdy story a little bit right now. I told you – I think I said this last week on the pod. I just see a lot of 2001 Patriots in some of this 49ers run in terms of how they're rolling. So it was concerning to see how many of them were DNP practices today.
Man, that's true. They got that great defense, and they got that kicker that doesn't miss in the playoffs. This is lining up for them. The one thing I was going to say about the Burrow thing that, I mean, I know it obviously gets mentioned a lot, but it can never be mentioned enough as far as I'm concerned. Again, coming from being a Lions fan, is it's also the organization he's doing it with. Let's not act like he stepped into a San Francisco situation, yeah, or he stepped into like the Chiefs deal like that Mahomes did. And I love both of I love those situations, and those are all great and everything like that. But there's some organizations that are, you know, your bottom level is just very, very high still. You're still going to be around 500 when you're even bad. The Bengals, to do that, and you just look around the rest of that roster, it's just like, damn, man, like, it is, it's really impressive.
Well, I'm going to stick in, I feel like the Bengals, I picked them to beat the Bills last week, but going against Patrick Mahomes seems like a bad thing to do, but the Bengals have had their number, so it's like kind of tough to do. So I'm going to do it. Bengals, I'm with Saad, though. I think the 49ers are better than the Eagles. And I know the Cowboys nearly got on top of them, but I think if the Cowboys are playing the Eagles, I might be picking them if the Cowboys going to beat the 49ers. So,
without Pollard?
Oh, yeah, that changed everything. Yeah, I forgot about that part. 49ers-Eagles. 49ers-Bengals for me as well, but we'll figure that out. Next week, we'll do some free agency talk, guys. Right?
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. We're going to know about the future of Tyron Smith, Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard. That's a good tease for next week's episode.
Love it.
For Father John Machota, for Saad Youssef, and for our producer, Kent Garrison, I'm Kevin K.T. Turner. We'll see you next week on About Them Cowboys.
We're sick. We're sick.
What did you think?
Sick.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.